All right, take your Bibles, Genesis chapter 12. My glasses back on so I can see. I was going to remind you Saturday, fellas, if you got some tools to bring with you as far as pitchforks, shovels, our main objective is to get all the bushes trimmed. It looks like a jungle out there, so that's one of our main objectives. So if you got a hedge trimmer, that would be a great help too. So I don't know what all the ladies are going to do. Some of them will work outside. They can work on the flower beds too, and there's stuff in here. So, all right, Genesis chapter 12 this evening. We began looking a little bit last two times on at Abram, and we're going to continue that thought for several more weeks probably. There's so much that we can learn. We mentioned that last time. But here in Genesis chapter 12, look with me in verse number 9. And Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. It's good that he knowed that. Fellas, it's always good to know things like that. So it's not the Bible lesson for the night, but that's always good to know that. So keeps you out of trouble. Where were we? Oh, yeah, verse 12. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princesses also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants, and maid servants, and she asses, and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now, therefore, behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife and all that he had. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, and to the place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which was made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we sure thank you, Lord, for God, just the word of God. Lord, thank you for your spirit, God, how you lead us and guide us in truth. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for a place that we can come and, God, to gather together here this evening, God, Lord, just with the ambition to learn. And God, I pray tonight, God, that you'd help us to have a teachable spirit. God, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that you just open our minds and our hearts. God, help us be willing to take the Word of God at truth. And God, just ask you again, God, to meet with us. Lord, I pray for our youngins tonight. God is there in their classes. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch and bless there in a special way. And God, most of all, we just pray, God, that you'll be glorified here this evening, Lord. And God, if there would be somebody here tonight, God, that would see their need for salvation, God, I pray, God, Lord, that they would obey the call. And God, that you would do what only you can do, Lord, and save that soul this evening, Lord. And we'd rejoice. And God, we'll thank you for what you do here this evening, Lord. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Now, just to sort of refresh and get us to where we are again this evening. We know last time we looked, as we studied Abram, and we looked at that fact that Abram had three things that God told him to do. And you think, well, just three things. Well, God's not told you anything different really either. First thing we saw about Abram, God told Abram, get away from your homeland. And then not only that, but to get away from your family. And then to go somewhere that you don't know where you're going. And we looked at the fact that Abram obeyed, but not entirely. He left homeland, but he didn't leave family. And we know until Abram decided to, or until Abram's dad passed away, that's when God stepped back on the scene and began to work in Abram's life. There are no shortcuts, and we'll see that again this evening when it comes to serving God. And we looked at that fact of why God would do that. Why would God tell a man to leave his daddy, to leave his mama, to leave his family? Is God just being mean? And that was what we looked at. Of course, it's not so. And we looked over there in Joshua and we saw the answer to the question of why God told Abram to leave home. And it was all because of the fact that God says, Abram, I got something for you to do. And your daddies and your daddy's daddies and all your family are worshiping idols. And you're not going to be able to serve me when you're around that kind of people. And listen, that's where we've got to get to today. As we mentioned before, we cannot walk hand in hand in this world and grab a hold of the world and grab a hold of God and say that this is where we're going to serve the Lord. You're not going to serve God that way. Either you're going to serve God or you're not going to serve God. And many times you're going to be put into that place where you're going to have to make a very hard choice. It's not easy. Now, there's some people I'm glad to say, see you later. Hope I see you in heaven. If I don't see you before then, adios, amigo. There's a lot of people in the world I don't really care if I ever saw them again, I don't guess. But my mom and daddy, I'd hate to have to say, bye, mom and daddy, I'm out of here. You're not serving God, so I can't be around here. Oh, preacher, I could never do that. Well, you're going to be put into those places at times where you're going to make that choice. Your buddies are going to come up and try to get you to do something. Oh, it's not that bad. I had the same instance, first church I pastored. Probably what broke the camel's back. I had some deacons that didn't like the way our direction was going. Where he was heading, just trying to follow this book. The church down the road don't do it that way. I said, I'm not accountable for that crowd down there, but I'm accountable for you. So they were trying to self-justify. Well, they were doing it, so it must be all right. Well, I don't want to get in that book. I'm not going to be judged according to what so-and-so does. I'm going to be judged about what I do according to the Word of God. So we looked at that fact the last time that Abram, again, was living in that place of adultery. God calls him to leave home and family to go to a land that God would show him. And we know that Abram obeyed God. And we left Abram there in verse number 8. The Bible says, and he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So we see where Abram is at this time. He's between two places. Now, that's very interesting. He's between where? Bethel and Ai. Well, guess where we are this evening? I'm between two places. I got Bethel on one side, and I got Ai on the other side. And I'm right in the middle. I hadn't got home yet. That word Bethel means the house of God. And that's where I'm heading one day. I'm going to the house of God. And the word Hai means a heap of ruins. And that's what this world is. Hey, this world is at home, amen. I'm between two. I don't fit in this place much anymore. The older I get, the more I realize I don't like this world. I don't fit in. If you fit into this world, there's something wrong. But I hadn't got home yet. So we find Abram here between two places. Take your Bible real quickly. We left off here last week, but I wanted to go hit this. Look over in Hebrews chapter 11 real quickly. We're going to come back right back to Genesis, but jump over to Hebrews chapter 11 real quick. See this great truth about Abram. Again, he's between Bethel, the house of God, and Hai, a heap of ruins. Something very interesting here about Abraham found in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at me in verse number 8. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place when he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him on the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. That's where Abram was. Abram died to himself. He left his home. He says, God, I'm going to follow You. We know that now his dad's dead. He's died, and now he's in the will of God. He is in that place. We looked at that a little bit Sunday night about being in the center of God's will. And that's where we find Abram at. And the Bible says he's between Bethel and Ai. He's between the house of God and that heap of ruins. He's on that place. And then we see this great truth about Abram. And you'll find that you'll never find him living anywhere but in a tent. He didn't put his stakes down in this world. And so many of us, sometimes we get so caught up into this world. Preacher, what do you think about what happened yesterday in the election? I think I'm going to heaven. I didn't even have to vote on it. Did you see what God tells us about this man by the name of Abraham? He was a sojourner. He was a pilgrim passing through. And notice what he says over there again. Where was it here? Verse 15, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Listen, that's where we need to get our eyes at. That's where we need to get our minds focused on. This ain't home. And we shouldn't be looking back at the heap of ruins. Well, I'll be looking towards the house of God. And that's what we see here about this great man by the name of Abram, or Abraham to be. So that's sort of where we are tonight. Again, back over to Genesis chapter 12. We left off with Abram here in verse number 8. And he removed again from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Ai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, called upon the name of the Lord, and Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So we find Abram in that place that God had led him to, that one place. Now he's between Bethel and Ai, and we found that Abram here builds an altar unto the Lord, and he begins to worship God. So Abram, by faith, again, obeyed God. He left everything, all his family behind. He sets out, going somewhere. He don't know where he's going. He's just minding God. He heard God. He saw God. He died to himself and said, I'm going to go and do the best I can to follow after God. And many of us tonight would say, preacher, that's the same thing I've done. If you hadn't done that, you need to do that. You need to surrender all and follow the Lord. But we find him here building an altar, and he built an altar unto the Lord, and he poured his heart out unto God. You would think, and this is what we're going to spend most of our majority of time tonight, because most of the time people, and I blame a lot of preachers for this, I blame a lot of this TV evangelists on these kind of things, and I blame a lot of church people today. A lot of people don't see the truth of the journey God's got us on. Abram had left everything. He obeyed. He's seen all these things take place. He's in that place. He builds that altar. He begins to worship and to pour out God to God his soul. And notice what takes place. After all of that, verse number 10, and there was a famine. Now, most of us would say, you know, when you serve God, everything, and I don't think most of us would say that. Let me back up on that statement. At times in our life, we believe, and I've had to deal with people like this, and sometimes there is problems. I've had to ask God, am I wrong or am I right? Am I where I need to be? But a lot of people think, as long as I'm serving God, as long as I'm in the center of God's will, everything's going to be peachy. And that's what a lot of people believe today. That's what a lot of preachers are preaching today. That's where a lot of people are falling out of the boat, because they get to that place and one day things aren't peachy. They wake up and the rose garden's turned into a cow pile. Life ain't so good no more. So either I'm wrong or God's wrong. And what they do is they'll jump out of the boat. And that's exactly what we're going to look at a little bit this evening. So again, Abram here, again, he's following the Lord. He's doing everything that he's supposed to be doing. And the first thing he's met with here, after building an altar, after he poured out his heart, what did he find? A famine. And again, that's not what most people are looking for. But the truth is, serving God is hard. There's going to be some famines in our land. There's going to be some disturbing days ahead. So, again, so many along the way fall out of the first signs of famine. But I want you to see this evening. This is where we're going to spend most of our night tonight. I want us to look at what God wants us to see here through the life of Abram here on that fact of, you know, when we're obedient, there'll be opposition. And that's exactly what we find with Abram here. He was obedient, but we find a great truth that there was opposition. Another fact that we'll see through this is Abram had got started in the walk of God. It's not so much, everybody has to start sometime in their walk. It should start when you get saved. It's not so much a fact of starting, but staying. And we'll see tonight how Abram started, but he didn't stay. So through that thought of that famine, through that opposition, and again, we're all going to face oppositions. And I thought, you know, the Bible's full of different places we can see that. Take your Bibles over to Mark chapter 6. Real quick example of what I'm talking about. Mark chapter 6, look in verse 45. Mark 6, verse 45 says, "And straightway he constrained," this being the Lord, "constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before Bethsaida." This is what we're seeing. The Lord looks at his disciples. He'd been teaching. There was a great multitude there that day. And the Lord looks at his disciples and said, "I want you to get on that boat. I want you to go to the other side." What are they doing? They're obeying. They're walking in the will of God. That's what God wants them to be doing. So he sends them away. Verse 46, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by." What do you mean? Here's a great example of this, what we're going to see here this evening. Tonight, we must understand that you're going to face oppositions in the will of God. You're going to face trials. You're going to face persecution. And one of the easiest things to do is what Abram did tonight, what we'll see here in this story of Abram. But we must learn not just to start in the will of God, but to stay. We need people that will be dead set on, "I'm not moving, I'm not going to turn, I'm not going to turn away from what God wants us to do." So that's a great example of what we'll find here this evening through the life of Abram. So what can we learn here this evening? Again, Abram was in the right position, but he wasn't able to hold that position. God told him to stay on that path. But when famine came, what did he do? What did he say? He went down to Egypt. He jumped out of the boat, didn't he? God never, he had listened to God to leave home. He listened to God to leave family. He listened to God to follow God in the walk. But when he was faith, he even built an altar. He worshiped and poured his heart out to God. But as soon as that famine came into the place of Abram's path, he dives out of the boat and heads down to Egypt. God never told him to go to Egypt. That wasn't obedience. But things got tough and tight. And the question was, and it's the same question with us, do we believe God or don't we? That's what it boils down to. Let me give you this statement. You ought to write this down. Never doubt in the darkness what God showed you in the light. Never doubt in the darkness what God showed you in the light. When God tells you something, God doesn't change. The Bible tells us that. He never changes. I'm thankful for that tonight. He's not controlled by our weather. He's not controlled by our economics. He's not controlled by our governments. God never changes. And when God has put things in our path, in our hearts, do what God says. And in the darkness, don't abandon the ship. Remember what He told you in the light. And here's one great, great example of this. How many of you know one of the greatest preachers in our neck of the woods, Brother Bobby Robertson? Most of you know him. He pastors that little gospel light over a few miles down the road, you know. Huge gospel light. What a man of God. Now, I didn't know Brother Bobby at this point of his life. I learned this story through Brother Maynard. Brother Bobby was pastoring there at Gospel Light, and I don't know how long he'd been there. I don't remember. Way back in the beginning of this thing, I forgot how many years he's been there. It's a bunch. 60 years, something like that. I forget. It's a bunch. But he got to a place where he said that he hadn't heard a word from God. And as a preacher, been there, done that, I don't like those days. But he got to a place where he wasn't hearing from God. And it went on and it went on and it went on. And I'm sure he battled himself. He battled if there was something wrong with him, if he had sinned, or if there was something wrong, if he was in the will of God, out of the will of God. And I forgot how a long period of time, I'm talking a year or more, had passed by. And Brother Bobby said, I hadn't heard one. He preached. How do you preach when you don't hear from God? If you can't preach out of this book, you don't need to preach anyway. I mean, there's stuff in this book. It sort of preaches itself. Brother Bobby said, I just hadn't got any direction from God. And somebody asked him, what did you do? He said, I just kept doing the last thing He told me to do until He told me to do the next thing. Amen. That's a great picture of what we as believers need to learn to do. People today, listen to me, people today are so flippant. I mean so flippant. It takes hardly anything to knock people out of the boat. Right. Need to be steadfast. Yeah. Don't waver. Know what God has said and do what God says. Yeah. Know what God told you in the light and during the dark times. Put your faith back on what He told you and do not be moved. And that's what we're going to learn here this evening, I hope, as we look at this. So the question truly is, and again, we see Abram. He obeyed. He was obedient. But famine. Well, preacher, you don't know how bad it was. Does it matter? Would you not rather be in the center of God's will in a famine than out of the will of God? Over here in Egypt? The question tonight is, will God fail you? When we get pressed, when we get into that place of that famine, our choice becomes, it amazes me. Don't say it won't happen to you. You got to fight this thing. I've seen it happen to a lot better people than I'll ever be. When they get cornered up, when they get pressed, they want to run. Seen it happen to so many people. You would think, with everything that we know, I mean, looking around this bunch tonight, you've been around this thing long enough, you know more than most. With knowing what we know, you would think that we would run to God. But the majority of time, people run away from God. Why? I hope we see some of that this evening. So the question is, will God fail us? We're going to find out this evening that, again, serving God, we, and again, I think one of the problems with it is we expect more than, I don't want to say it, we expect one thing and we don't get what we expected. Does that make sense? And when we've put that in our minds and it don't come out the way we wanted it to come out or thought it should come out, it starts bringing doubt and it starts bringing defeat, and that's what takes place. You look at, you know, again, probably one of the greatest men in the New Testament besides the Lord Himself was the Apostle Paul. Would that be an agreement? Would you say Paul was obedient? Now, he did stray a few times. He wanted to go places and God said, don't go there. But I would say, again, Paul was probably one of the most faithful, obedient men in the New Testament day. Well, look what he found. He found the jail cell. He found the whipping post. He found the stones. Stephen. He left a great revival and goes get whooped up on. stones him to death. You think that's what he was looking for? If you're living for God, everything's going to be rosy. Paul didn't show that. The Lord himself didn't even show that. But they were following God. But you got to remember, we're between two places. We're between Bethel and Ai. We're not home yet. We're still on enemy ground. And things ain't ever going to be perfect till we get in there. So don't throw in the towel. That's what I'm saying this evening. We're on a journey. Just like we saw there in Hebrews. We're on a journey. We're heading somewhere. So don't throw in the towel. Now, with that thought of opposition, when the Lord was getting ready to go back to heaven, he made the statement that he had to go away. But if he went away, he was going to send another. And who was that other? Help me out. It's Bible study. Who is it? The Holy Spirit. What is one of the greatest attributes of the Holy Spirit? He is that what? Well, what? Comforter. God says, I'm going to send you a comforter. Now, everybody in agreement? Now, let me ask you this simple question. If God says, I'm going to send you a comforter, don't you think we're going to have opposition to be comforted from? Does that not just make real sense? If I want to send you a comforter, you must need comforting. This is so simple, but we make it so foreign. He said, I want to send you a comforter. So apparently the Lord wanted us to know, hey, this is going to be some tough walk. You're going to need some comforting. Let's look back over here to Genesis again. I want to look at, and let me say this. Don't sit here tonight and think you're bigger or more spiritual or this will never happen to you. There's not a person in here tonight that has not or cannot do what we see here with the life of Abram. But I want you to see, again, remember tonight. Probably the majority of folks in here, if I asked you if you were saved, you'd throw your hand up and say, yeah, preacher, I'm saved. Remember, God didn't save your flesh. You still got that same nature in you. Paul said there's an old man and a new man. Don't ever think you've got the old man taken care of. He's always sitting back there, looking, trying to figure a way out that he can get back on top. Always. But let's look at him real quickly this evening, what took place with this man Abram. So verse 10 again says, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into the Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, and that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Notice, as soon as Abram, I keep wanting to say Abraham, he's not Abraham yet. As soon as Abram gets out of the boat of faith, of walking with God, notice how quickly his life changes. What did he instantly do? He lied. What else did he do? He began scheming. That's what happens when we walk away from God and walk by the flesh. We begin to lie. We begin to scheme. For what? Our own self. Let me throw this in here before I forget. Look at, and most of you know this, but for you that don't know this, notice verse 10. Again, he's obedient. He's following the Lord. But now famine's come in and he decides to walk away from God. Notice what it says. Verse 10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went which way? Which way?
Down.
Egypt is a picture of what? The world. All through your Bible, you'll find Egypt is that picture of the world. And you will always find, when you walk away from God towards Egypt, it'll always be down. And I promise you this evening, I don't care how bad the famine is, I don't care how bad the opposition might feel, I promise you when you decide in your flesh that you would rather take chances with you than with God, it'll be a downhill walk. It's always down. But notice what he did. And this amazes me. Notice what he says. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. So I pray thee that thou art my sister, and it may be well with me for thy sake, for my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that was very fair, and the princes of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken unto Pharaoh's house. Now look up here. What did Abraham just do? He sacrificed who? His wife for what? Himself. Can you believe he would do that? Can you believe he would just throw his wife to the dogs? When we turn to Egypt, you don't know who you're going to sacrifice. A lot of times it is our family that gets sacrificed. We want something for ourselves and we drag our family right into it. And we sacrifice their good for my selfish gain. You better be careful. You better see the consequences. So many people today make so many stupid, and preacher, you shouldn't say stupid. What's stupid? What do you want me to call it? Make stupid choices. And never consider the consequences. Never consider, is this what God wants? And then they dive off in it. And they lose their wife. And they lose their children. They lose their homes. Oh, I wish. Why did you do it to begin with? Because you got in a famine. And you made a choice to get out of the boat. He was willing to sacrifice his wife just for his flesh. Again, this is the same man that a couple of verses earlier built an altar and poured himself out to God and worshiped God. It's a nice sound. I don't know who's, it's pretty, it's angelic. Don't answer this, fellas. What would you be willing to trade for your wife? Oh, preacher, nothing. I love her. What would you trade for your children? A few times I like to give mine away. Did you see what took place? You know what the world's going to do? They're going to entice you. Notice, look at it. Okay, in verse 14. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, he's down there now, he's left where he's supposed to be, he's out in the world, he stepped away from God. The Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken again. Me and Brother Brian was talking earlier, and he said that they had some kind of training. I don't know all the ins and outs about it, but said, Food Line says that a transgender can use whatever bathroom they want to in a Food Line store. To me, that says don't shop Food Line. They said that was a law. That's not, as far as I know, Brother Jim, that's not the law of North Carolina, is it? Law of Charlotte, but not North Carolina. But they were told in their managing training that's the way it works. Craziness. If somebody's going to come get my wife, they're going to have a fight on their hands. Amen. They come get my children, they're going to have a fight on their hands. I'll even fight for you, as long as you're right with God. I ain't going to help you go off into the world, but I'll fight side by side with you for the things of God. But notice what took place. Verse 15, the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. They come and got her. What did he call? What did he gain? Verse 16, he treated Abram well for her sake. Hey, buddy, I got a brand new truck out here I'll give you. Got a big house. Got a better job, more money. What did Pharaoh do? What did the world do? And treated Abraham. What did he? Well, look. And he had treated Abraham well, or Abram well, for her sake. Now, what did Pharaoh have? He had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants, she asses and camels. Don't you want that? Of course your flesh wants that. There's nobody's flesh. Oh, preacher, I'd rather just have a little old cabin up there. I don't care if I get a mansion. Baloney. That sounds real spiritual, but you're a liar. Be honest with yourself. Somebody throws that extra $100 a week on your paycheck. Boy, that's not, I could use another $100 a week. But it cost. He didn't even fight for her. Came and took her, and he did nothing. It was all about himself. And again, that's what I find with people today. When they walk away from God, they have one thing in mind, and that's themselves. So can you believe Abram would do that? I have a hard time, but he did it. Can you believe you'd do that? Oh, no, preacher, I'd never do that. We're the same without the Lord. I'll never forget. We'll be here 11 years in May, thereabouts. We came here in May. I guess probably one of the first men I had come in to preach revival was Brother Sam Villini. I don't know if it was the first or second, maybe third time he was here. It was one of the very first times he was here. He preached. I'll never forget, I don't remember what the message was, but I remember making this statement. He said, the same hand that I pick my Bible up with is capable of picking up a can of beer. Now, some of you are going to sit there and be real spiritual and say, oh, no, you couldn't do that. It might not be a can of beer, but it might be something else. What he's saying is you're capable of anything. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Abram stepped out by faith, but now we find him caught in famine. What did he do? He jumped out of the boat. We're all capable. So, but I'm thankful this evening that the story doesn't end there. I see what Abram did. I see when he was pinched, when he was pressed, when he was faced with opposition, he could not stay. He slipped. He fell. He went down to Egypt. It cost him greatly. But aren't you glad tonight God doesn't just quit on you? Aren't you glad even when Abram slipped away, that God stepped on the scene and showed his mercy? What do you mean, preacher? Notice, look what took place. Verse 17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. God steps on the scene. God shows himself full of mercy and grace. God knew what could have took place, and God says, no. And thank God this evening I can look back on my life and see how many times God put some guardrails up. I was getting ready to ride off on a cliff. But God put some guardrails up. Hey, I hit the guardrail, but I didn't go off the cliff. Things could really get bad here in just a moment. Pharaoh was getting ready to take Sarai to himself for his wife. And God says, that ain't going to happen. And God says, I'll plague him. So I'm thankful this season that we see God and his mercy and his faithfulness. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 13. This ought to make you just have Jesus bumps all over you. Listen to this. Look at verse 13. Look at it. I got mine pinned down. If we believe not. Abram, I want you to go out and leave your house and leave your family. Okay, God, I'll do it. And he eventually does. Uh-oh, famine comes. Better get down to Egypt. Even though God didn't say go, I'm going to go. I heard they got good food down there. Notice what it says. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Hallelujah. Because I'm not faithful, but he is. That's the reason I can go through this world. I fall down. I mess up. God gets me back up on my feet. I'm not walking in myself. He's faithful. And I'm thankful tonight I see the mercy of God here as God steps back in the scene. Yes, Abram slipped. Yes, Abram fell. Yes, Abram went to where he shouldn't have went. But God shows himself faithful. When Abram would not believe God, God says, wait a minute, throw it up a guardrail. He ain't going to let this thing get out of hand. Notice another place. Look over Philippians chapter 1. Most of you know this verse. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can you believe God? That's the simple. Abram got to that place of famine. Is famine pleasurable? Look at me. You can tell I'm about to starve to death. Everyone in here is probably ate at least twice today. Our cupboards probably are full. Most of us in here have no idea what famine would really be like. But we've all been put in that press. We've all been hit with something. And in that moment, can we really say, God, you put me here. I'm just going to trust you. That's what he's saying. You can trust him. And Abram didn't trust him, but thank God, God showed himself faithful and showed his mercy. And God threw that guardrail up. And then I see, look in verse number chapter 13. I see a great picture this season that most people have no idea about. Most preachers don't preach about it. Most people don't even care about it. But I see, again, let's get our story straight. We see Abram step out by faith and follow God by being obedient to what God wants him to do. He's between Bethel and Ai. He's in where God wants him to be, traveling in the right way. Famine comes, and as soon as famine comes, he bails out on God and runs down to Egypt. To this world. He lies and he schemes and he gives his wife away. Then God steps back on the scene and throws up the hedge. But then chapter 13, I see a great picture of, now listen to me, I see a great picture of true, now I know this is a foreign word, I'll say it real slow, true repentance. True repentance. What do you mean, preacher? Let's look at chapter 13. And Abram went what? Went where? Up. And what? Out of where? That's true repentance. Most people today, they struggle. They want to hold the world in one hand, hold God in the other hand. That's not repentance. When we find ourselves in that place of famine and we do turn our backs on God and we do go down into Egypt, when we come to that place of realizing, wait a minute, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. This isn't what God wants me to do. That's when true repentance should come into our hearts and we should get up and get out of Egypt. Now, which way did he go? Up. Anytime you go with God, you're heading up. True repentance. He left Egypt. He saw that he was wrong, and instead of playing with it and making excuses about it, he leaves Egypt and goes back to where? What did he do? Notice, and Abram went up out of Egypt. he and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to where? Bethel. Unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. True repentance. Let me say it, I said it this past Sunday night. There are no shortcuts with God. He found himself in the place of Egypt. He found himself away from God. What did he have to do? He had to get out of that place and go back to where? Where he left God. And tonight, we need to get back to the place where we repent, quit playing around with this thing, and realize it's better to serve God than man, and get back to serving God. But again, so many people want to hang on to sin. But what about God? You have to leave Egypt. Look over in Revelation chapter 2. This is such a great book. It's amazing how it goes from one page to another page and runs straight from Genesis to Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse number 4. Verse 4 says this. We know this verse. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. This is what God's saying to the churches there. Because thou hast left thy first love. What did he say? What did Abram do? He left. He says, God, I love you. I'm going to follow you. Uh-oh, famine. Better get out of here. He left his first love. Notice what verse 5 says. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. You know what? A lot of people, there's several in here tonight. Who is it, preacher? You know you. There's people tonight, you're miserable. You don't have joy of God in your life. You're here on a Wednesday night. That don't mean you're here because you want to serve the Lord. You're just here because you feel like that's what you got to do. You read your Bible, but you don't get nothing out of it. You pray, and it don't seem like it's going anywhere. What's wrong? Maybe you've left your first love. Do you notice what he said you should do? Look at verse 5. I didn't shut my Bible. Let me get back over there. What did it say do? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And it's so easy. Preacher, how do I do? What do I need to do? What did he say? This isn't a trick question. What does it say? Repent and do what? The first works. When was God real to you? When was serving God fun to you? When was reading the Bible fun to you? When was praying fun to you? When was coming to church not a grudgery? It was hey, it's Wednesday night. I can't believe it. Well, I got to go to church tonight. We're going to have Bible study. Hey, I can't wait till Wednesday, man. Get to meet my brothers and sisters and work here at church. Sunday school. Woo, yeah. That's Sunday. We're going to pray at 9:30. We need to repent. Preacher, I'm not living in sin. I'm not saying you're a drunk or a whoremonger. I'm just saying you're not with your first love. And God says you need to repent and go back to where you left me and start doing what you was doing. Whatever that is. It's so simple, but so hard. And then last of all this evening, again, let's paint our picture. Abram obeyed. Abram went. Abram found himself in a famine. Abram bails on God and runs to Egypt. God showed himself merciful and God showed himself faithful. Abram repents. Goes back to where he left God at, to that altar and that place of worship. But here's something that most people never think about. There was a great cost. Do people ever think about the consequences? Well, but this is what I want to do. Yeah, but it's going to cost you. And the sad thing is, a lot of people don't care. Never forget, and I stay there a lot. Now, it was pretty easy to leave my first church. I was wanting to leave about 4 months before God told me to leave. I was ready to go. But when I was at our home church, I loved my pastor, still love my pastor. I loved what we were doing. Man, we were busy. I mean, you couldn't get no busier. And listen, if you come to me making excuses, I'm going to laugh at you because it can be done. I've had people try it, and I laugh at them, then they get mad at me. But listen, I'm not saying I'm special, but you do what you want to do. I do what I want to do. You do what you want to do. But you can work a full-time job, run a bus route, preach to nursing homes, teach a Sunday school class, do Sunday school opening, go to Bible college, build a house, and do all those things. How you know, preacher? I did it. And I'm not special. Well, preacher, I can't do all that. Why? Because you don't want to. But I was struggling. God had called me to preach and to surrender myself, and I did. I can take you back to that altar there at Friendship Baptist Church. Right-hand side, I can take you back to the place. I fell on my face before God. I surrendered, and it seemed like everything the preacher had been preaching for weeks upon weeks was that nobody but me. And I surrendered myself to God right there. Instantly, I just said, well, okay, God, what do you want me to do? So I began, I was already faithful, I guess, as best I could. But what do you want me to do? And I met Scott Cottle and found out about Fundamental Bible College and went to Bible College. And this, my preacher, right out of the gate, man, Sunday after I surrendered, he says, I want you to preach Sunday night. Boy, that was a joke. I still remember what I preached. You remember what I preached? Yeah? Because I had a visual. I had a pool lifesaver thing. I preached on Christ the lifesaver. Man, I look back, God is merciful, I can tell you. But I went to Bible college, and man, we were just doing, man, just whatever. Why? We were with our first love. But then there's a day came into my life like I'd never had before. God began moving my heart. And then I started finding running the bus route was not fun anymore. I began finding out that teaching my Sunday school class and working with those young people was just wasn't like it used to be. Then God began to show me what He was doing. He was preparing me to take a church in Taylorsville. But I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I said, God, I want to make sure this is not me, but it's You. Listen, You can open doors. I can open doors. I'm talking to a preacher right now that's doing some things that he's a friend of mine, but I don't agree with his tactics right now. And I'm trying to be as nice as I can and tell him, just wait on God. But they started talking to me up there, and I kind of went up there and preached, and Carrie threw up on the floor. That's this whole story. You can ask me about that later. That's always a good first impression when you walk in the door and your daughter, 4 years old, barfs all over the floor. But I remember just sitting for hours. It was always on my mind. I'm getting to something. This was what was on my mind. I said, Lord, if I'm wrong, it affects my home church and everybody there. And it affects everybody up at that church I'm going to. See, it just didn't affect me. All my flesh, hey, I wanted to go preach, be a pastor. Hey, that's what God wanted me to do. But I wanted to make sure it wasn't me, but it was God, because I knew there was a cost. If I went up there out of the will of God, it was going to affect everybody, not just me. It was going to affect that church I was going to. It was going to affect the church that I left. It cost. And it cost Abram. How do you know, preacher? Look over in Galatians chapter 6 real quick. There is a price. This is a scary verse. Most people know this verse, but it don't scare you like it should. Be not deceived, because most people are. This is verse 7, Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What did Abram do? He turned his back on God. God was merciful. What did Abram do? Abram repented. Let's see what took place. Abram went down to Egypt, but he didn't go alone. Who went with him? His whole family. There's a young man that went with him too. Remember him? What was his name? Lot. When he came out of Egypt, the sad thing is, some of Egypt came with him. We'll see that in just a few verses ahead. Well, let's just go there. Go back over to Genesis. Look at chapter 13. They've come out of Egypt, but let's see what took place. Look, we'll get more into this, but I'll just read one verse. What happened is Abram come out of Egypt, Lot and his family with him. They leave that place, back to the place where God wanted them to be. And again, he left Egypt, but some of Egypt went with him. Abram and Lot had a lot of things. And we know there became a strife between Abram's sheep guys and Lot's sheep guys. And they began to fight. About like Baptists do, you know. Began to fight. And Abram says, we can't do this. Right? So they decided they need to split their ways. I want to show you a verse. Look in verse 10. See if it didn't do some damage. And Lot lifted up his eyes, because this is their dividing place, and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of... What did your Bible say? Like the land of who? What did Lot say? It come dividing time. Lot lifts up his eyes. Egypt is in his heart. Whoa, there's Egypt's place. I see some land down there. It reminds me of Egypt. I liked Egypt. Man, Egypt was a place, man. There was parties everywhere. It was just a time. Lot said, that's where I'll go. See, Abram left God's will and took his family with him. Thank God for the mercy of God it brought him back out. But Egypt tainted the heart of Lot. It cost him. He got Abram out of Egypt, but he didn't get Egypt out of Lot. Well, look at one more place and we'll be done this evening, how it cost. Look at Genesis chapter 16. See if it didn't cost Abram more than we really think. Most of us know this story if you've been through your Bible at all. Now Sarai, this is verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, and what? Where'd she come from? I bet they met her down at Walmart. Look at it. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. We know how that story goes, don't we? Do you think Abram ever dreamed in his life that it all began because he left the place of God in a famine? Look what it cost. Now let me ask you something this evening. Do you ever think about what it cost when we do the same thing or are selfish? Because that's all it's about. We're not thinking about nobody but ourselves. Yeah, but it's going to help my family. No, it's probably going to destroy your family. It might not happen in this generation. Might not happen in the second generation. But that seed's there. Lot looked up and saw that water plain and said, oh, that looks like Egypt. I liked Egypt. And here's a young girl that got picked up along the way. as they spent their days in Egypt. Now look what it's going to cost. It cost. I'm thankful this evening. Now listen to me. I am. I am so thankful that when I mess up, that God will pick me up and get me out of Egypt. I'm so thankful for that. But can I say it's better not to ever go there? Listen to me. It's better never to go to Egypt. It'd been better for Lot to have stuck it out. God would provide it. He always has. There will always be famines. There will always be opposition. Stay in the boat. What did remember over there when Paul was heading to Rome? He's on the boat. Great storm. Hadn't seen daylight for days. Paul goes down into the bottom of the ship and prays. Gets along with God and he comes up and says, "Listen, I heard from the Lord." He says, "If you stay on the boat, nobody will get hurt." We know how the storm began to tear the boat apart. How the men were getting ready to jump off the ship into their little lifeboats. Paul says, "You better not. Better stay here. You'll get hurt out there." And they stayed on the boat, and God got every one of them to the land. Now, it wasn't a fun trip, but God got done what He said He was going to do. And again, it ain't always pleasurable, but it's always right. Brother Maynard, if you get my Bible, if you ever get my hold of my Bible, you better get it back. If you ever get a hold of my Bible, you'll see a lot of things wrote in front of it, things I wrote down. Dude, I've heard men say, Brother Maynard said this years and years and years and years and years ago. He said this, very simple. He says, "You'll never go wrong going right. You'll never go wrong going right. It's not easy, but you'll be right." Abram. Simple story. Great truth. Well, that was him. I'm better than that. Good luck with that thought. Good luck. Every one of us tonight, I'll be so thankful for that merciful hand of God. Because there's not one of us in here that's ever walked a straight path. We're in and out, up and down. But we better realize it's better to stay with God. And again, it costs. There's a lot of parents today I'm so scared for. I mean, we've shipwrecked ourselves several times, but some things I see some parents today allowing their children to get a hold of, you ain't helping them. You ain't a helping them. Preacher, but we don't want to be mean. Was God mean when He told Abram to leave house, leave family? No, He was doing it for Abram's good. Stay in the boat. Let's stand together this evening.